Hi, welcome to Picayune Conversations. I'm Callan.
I'm Lindsay.
And today we're going to have a little conversation. We're going to continue this series about emotions. And today we're going to be talking about anger and what it is and what we can do about it. And maybe other things too. I guess we'll find out what kind of conversation we're going to have. But it's going to be circling around anger. If you have not already, you can check out other episodes that we have on emotions. Just in our podcast feed, some of them may not be released yet, but some of them certainly are. So go check those out. Where do you think we should start today?
Let's define it, because we did guilt, I think, last time, right? Guilt. Mm-hmm. And defining it the way that perhaps Paul Rasmussen would, you know, in this adaptive way, so that way we can use it to contribute.
Right. And when you say adaptive, we're really talking about purpose here, yeah? That rather than seeing anger as a disease or something that happens to us, seeing it as a tool that we use to accomplish a purpose.
Yeah, like I'm feeling this thing. What is it? Like, let's stop and get curious. What is it telling me about how my life is going?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Well, so I'm thinking back to Paul and maybe a few different ways that Paul would describe this. But when I was first studying with Paul, he explained anger to me as the obstacle removal emotion, that it is this emotion that removes some kind of obstacle, whether psychological or literal, between us and what we want. And then later on, I think Paul also added this into the equation. It's a barrier. We want to remove a barrier between us and what we want and also feel entitled to.
Yeah, what we expect.
Yeah, and we should maybe talk a little bit about this word entitlement, because I know that kind of is a yucky connotation right now. Like it's this like put down of like, ooh, you're so entitled, or you know, somewhat like in generational culture wars or some things like that.
I'm just thinking example wise, because that's where my brain goes. Like, let's say I was talking to you and you kept interrupting me.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually, because I am patient, I will get a little peeved and I will probably raise my voice or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what should we do with that example?
Well, I mean, it would perhaps suggest that...
What do I feel entitled to?
Yeah. You're entitled to be listened. You feel entitled to be listened to.
Yeah, without interruption, that I deserve to be heard.
Yeah.
I am entitled to that. I'm entitled for you to listen to me.
You're entitled to other people listening to you.
Yep.
Based on what?
What I think.
Oh, yes. Okay. And now here's the impact of private logic into things. And by the way, I want to be a good listener to Lindsay. And
you suck.
I don't think that it would be unreasonable to expect me to do this. This, of course, is going to relate back to a prior conversation that we've had about hopes, expectations, entitlements. Maybe we haven't had that conversation yet.
I think we do.
Well, we need to at some point. But, you know, really, no one's entitled to have somebody else listen to them. That is a perfectly reasonable thing to want. In some contexts, it's even a reasonable thing to expect. Like as counselors, you know, if somebody's going to come pay me money for a counseling session, I don't think that it's unreasonable for them to expect me to listen to them. That's a primary function of my job and whatever. No one is entitled to have another person behave any which way. That is not something that we're actually entitled to. So I think that's an interesting feature of that. But I just want to maybe mention this up front, that there are, in fact, things that we are entitled to.
Yeah, like freedom from enslavement.
Yeah.
Basic human rights.
basic human dignity. Yeah. Body autonomy.
Yes.
Things that we've contractually agreed to. You know, it's like, let's say that, you know, I don't know, this isn't our business, but like, let's say that we have some business and we sign this, you know, $500,000 contract that says, well, you do these things and then we will pay you $500,000. Okay. And Sweet. We do all these things and then they're like, yeah, we're not going to pay that 500. We are entitled to that money. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there are some things, I resent the idea that we're not entitled to anything. That's not true, but we need to really watch that and have a clear understanding of when maybe our private logic, our private ideas about life are sneaking in, and then we call upon our anger to serve this idea that really isn't, it's not in line with the common logic.
That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because sometimes anger is good. Like, we use it in, when we're like reorienting, you know, to talk about how what it can be sort of a siren to self-respect. My self-respect is being compromised right now. And if that's the case, like, yeah, you can use your anger to set boundaries and to assert yourself. Like, you might not be entitled for them to listen to you, but if that's how you want relationships to go, then okay, you need to make use of that and not do it in a way that's going to just harm the other person.
Yeah, okay, now this also is an important bit. There's anger that we can think of us having anger, and maybe we've talked a little bit about, you know, what maybe brings that about, but then there's also a question of what we do with anger. And this is, I think, where a lot of, you know, people come to see us for anger management. It's always noticeable that if somebody did try and come to me, they're like, I would like you to remove anger.
And people have said that. And I'm like, sorry, you need it.
Yeah, that's unreasonable. This is why we do anger management. We do not do anger removal. We do not, you know, lobotomize people and scoop out the bit of their brain, which we couldn't do this anyways.
Or people ask for a pill for anger. Is there an anger pill? And I'm like,
my anger pill.
I mean, yeah. A tranquilizer, but yeah. Like, that's not going to serve your purposes either.
Yeah, we could just put you into a coma, yeah. Something like that. Yeah. So there's this question of like, what do we do with our anger? And that I think is rather significant. Can you talk to us a little bit about the range of what that can look like? Okay, you possess the emotion of anger in some kind of way. You're experiencing it, this emotion of anger. Give us a picture of the variety of what you can do with that emotion.
Okay, you want to give me like an example?
Sure.
Like,
let's say somebody is driving 15 miles an hour below the speed limit in front of you. On a two lane, so you know you can't pass.
Okay, I'll give you my range. Maybe this is true. Maybe this isn't. I could just, you know, be like, oh my gosh, like notice it, because of course my alarm systems in my body to keep me safe are gonna go off because somebody maybe just, you know, like if somebody were to cut me off, but like they're going really slow, like that puts me in danger. Also, it's gonna make me late, so maybe I express frustration. Maybe the next level is I honk my horn, which I don't do very often, but. I might honk my horn. I could show them a beautiful finger of mine and maybe scream some curse words. I could do that thing where I tail them, you know, not that I would do that, but I could tail them, you know, I could flash my lights. I could do all kinds of things. I could crash into them. I could, you know,
run them off the road. Yeah. Love tap them. Yeah.
Run them off the road, while honking. I could call the cops on them, make up some, you know, charge and say that they have, you know, 10 pounds of cocaine in their car. That's probably not enough. I don't know enough about drugs.
I don't either.
1,000 pounds of cocaine? I don't know. Enough to get him arrested and then he's out of my way. I could murder him?
Okay. Well, I mean, gosh, we really did go to the very end of the spectrum there, didn't we?
I used to have that knife as a prop, but I don't have it today.
Well, I'm glad we got rid of that. Yeah. I mean, one of the things I think that's interesting as you're describing this range, people will often say, and let's be honest, you and me, I'm sure that we've said this before, I'm sure that I'll say it again, but we say, well, I did X because I was angry. Mm. And it's this thing of like, well, I was experiencing this emotion, and so therefore I had no choice. You know, I had to engage in this specific behavior. Well, I had to yell because I was mad.
Like, what if your kids, you come downstairs, they're not eating their breakfast and they're being loud and they're fighting?
Yeah. So, and for some reason, and just to be clear, this is an unreasonable thing, but let's say that I feel entitled to my, you know, 8-year-old and my 6-year-old being timely and diligent in everything that they do and never getting distracted. Okay, and I mean, I'm hoping that as you're hearing me talk about this, you're seeing how ridiculous that is, you know, to feel entitled to that from an 8-year-old and a 6-year-old. But okay, so I come down, and so then I call upon this emotion of anger. I don't do that consciously, but that's happening in the background. I call upon my anger and so that I can remove the obstacle. And here's the obstacle. My children, their distractibility, their interest in other things. And here's how I can remove the obstacle. If I just frighten them, if I can just frighten them enough, they will focus and they will, you know, sit down and, you know, very diligently eat their cereal and get ready and run upstairs and put on their socks and shoes and brush their teeth or whatever. Now, that's a very understandable thing to get angry about. It is unreasonable. And there's also this. Okay, good. I got what I wanted. My kids are focused. They are efficient, at least for the time being. They're, you know, efficient, and they're doing what I want them to do.
At what cost?
And there's the question, right? Is that, yeah, but the cost is that now I have two children who, rather than experiencing a sense of safety and security and love and affection and fun, I have two frightened children who are going to climb into the car, maybe on the verge of tears, and who are not...
How dare you?
I mean, it's just terrible, right? But we feel so justified of like, well, yeah, but they really pissed me off, and therefore I had to yell at them.
Yeah, I had to yell at them.
And this is false. We do not have to experience an emotion does not require that we indulge it. I think that is a... This is a lie that we tell ourselves in order to justify really abhorrent behavior most of the time. That's why we're telling ourselves that. And so it's like in the same way that, you know, if my bladder's full and I feel the need to pee, that doesn't mean that I have to do it right here, right now. Like there's a time and a place. Like I can go to the restroom, close the door, stand over the toilet, and now it's fine to indulge that feeling, and it's a perfectly valid feeling to have my bladder's full. But just to say, well, I felt it, and therefore I had to. Okay, well, then piss your pants the next time you're out somewhere and you feel the urge to pee, and let's see how that goes for you. In that instance, we recognize that we have this capacity to actually manage our emotions and to choose what to do with the feelings that we have. And I think that's an important thing to remember with anger.
It's also really sad because, like, when you're talking to clients about how, you know, like, maybe they grew up with abuse in the home, but when you talk about outside of the home, you know, suddenly mom or dad, they were able to control their anger, but not at home. So like, so you were able to control it. You just didn't want to do it for us. And it's like, oh, yikes. A whole new level of grief.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot to that. And I want us to pivot a little bit, and maybe we've already been talking about this a little bit, but let's talk about, you know, I mean, there's so many things that we could do to manage anger, but really big picture, when you get a client in and there's something to do with anger management, how are you working with that individual in order to help them perhaps manage their anger differently? To manage it better.
Well, one of the first things I do is I like to know, like, what do you do with it? Like, what does the anger look like and how do people respond to you? Like, what are you getting out of it? Because then obviously what our brains will be able to start doing is like, how can we get what you want in principle is not bad, like inherently bad, then like, how can we get you that in a way that is more socially interested?
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then once we know that, what would you do next?
Well, I'm always doing maybe a few things. One is that I'm wanting clients to catch themselves in the process of getting angry.
And feeling it. Like,
yeah.
Always, you gotta, don't like gaslight yourself and be like, oh, I shouldn't feel anger. Like, no, like it's telling you something about how life is going for you right now. Pay attention.
Right. And then I think there's this like psychoeducational piece of I teach my clients that what anger is it is an emotion. It energizes us to break down a barrier between us and what we want and feel entitled to. So then to clarify for them, so if I'm my client, what I'm wanting them to do is I'm wanting to catch myself getting angry, to say, ooh, I am experiencing anger right now. All right, well, here's what I know about anger. I'm trying to break down a barrier between myself and something that I feel entitled to and that I want. So what is that thing? What is it that I want and feel entitled to? And let's take the case of road rage, you know, of like, oh, I'm so angry at this driver in front of me. Oh, well, what I feel entitled to is that when I get on the road, I should never have to share it with bad drivers. Mm-hmm. That is ridiculous. That's absurd. No one is entitled to a world free of bad drivers.
Nope.
And so there is something that, what from there, I don't want a client berating themselves, shaming themselves about this, but rather to have a little bit of a chuckle at themselves to say like, well, yeah, that is a little bit silly, isn't it?
Yeah.
There are realities of doing life, including that there are bad drivers in the world, and I drive on the same roads as those drivers, and it's unfortunate that right now I'm sharing the road with this bad driver. And so then maybe what we do is we downgrade anger to frustration, because we're saying, yeah, I'm not really entitled to that. I am not entitled. And it's not unreasonable that I want it to go a certain way, and it sucks that I'm not doing it. But now we're like, now we're frustrated, maybe disappointed, something like that. But we're just being a little bit more reasonable with ourselves. I think also there is this kind of, yeah, like spitting in the soup aspect of like being honest with ourselves about our anger, so that it doesn't, we're not, we don't feel virtuous about it.
Right.
And in this way that like when, if I yell at my kids, I've mentioned this before in these picking conversations. If I yell at my kids, I need to be honest with myself about what I'm doing. That's not tough love. I am trying to frighten my children into doing what I want.
Scaring them into submission.
And again, it's not to shame myself. It's not to berate myself. It's not to be unkind to myself. It is to say, okay, well, that's not really what I want to do. What could I do instead? How could I, you know, go a different direction? So, I mean, those I think are kind of big picture when I'm trying to help clients do. Of course, there are, you know, added like physiological things teach people to do to calm down, to lower their overall stress level. We could talk about allostatic load. We could talk about all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but as like I'm sure you've experienced too, like really like feeling the feelings and getting curious about it, and like we can call it maybe catching yourself and then checking yourself. You just like check yourself on it, check your entitlements, like, and just see if it's really what you, how you want to be living your life. Do I want to live life expecting everybody to do what I want at all times? That I must and should have everything that I want. Life should go my way all the time.
Which is, I mean, like, and that's a recipe for misery,
yeah.
Right? Like that's just, because that's not how, you're wanting the world to be a way that it is not.
And you can be, like, that's a bummer. You can be upset about that. And you still have to meet the demands of life. So
yeah,
feel them concurrently.
It's just a question of how miserable you'd like to be going through life. And by the way, if you are angry with a high level of frequency, one of the products of that is that people do not want to be around you. And I'm not saying that if you're one of those people who's angry a lot, I'm not saying that you are not worthy of having relationships. I'm not saying that you're such an awful human that like, yeah, nobody should hang out with you. That's not what I mean, but there's just a reality to it of like, I don't know about you, I don't like to be around grouchy people.
I'm also not going to, somebody can yell if they want to, but out of self-respect, I am not going to be around for it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need that.
So there is this like, yeah, there's this kind of like cliff that you get to too, where like at some point, if you don't reckon with your unreasonable ideas about the world that then cause you to call upon this anger to break down this barrier that realistically, and particularly in the long term, like you're never going to break down that barrier. People are always going to do, there's always going to be bad drivers. Yeah. There are always, kids are going to be inefficient.
Yes, they will.
People are not going to do everything that you want them to do all the time. If you don't deal with that, then you're going to be angry. And what that's eventually going to do is to put you in this state of disconnect from other people. And that's no good.
Yeah. And so, maybe even take on a victim mentality, you know,
yeah.
Like nothing goes my way. You know, the world is against me. And then it's like, then you have the perfect excuse to be an a-hole.
Now, you know, of course, we've been talking a lot about how to maybe mediate anger, avoid anger, manage anger, kind of like, you know, can we talk for a minute about, there are, of course, instances in which it is perfectly appropriate to indulge our anger. Can we just attend to this briefly?
Sure. What if, I'll just put a situation out there. What if you're at Target and you see a parent smack a child in the face?
Yeah. I mean, that's like, I'm thinking of my religious background, and like we would talk about righteous anger, you know, that when we see truly evil things happening, again, not just like, oh, it violates my preference, but things that we really can look at and say, no, that is wrong. That is not okay.
Or genocide.
Or even just like, look, if you're a woman at a bar, and let's just say if you're a person at a bar, it's like, I don't let's be honest, it's mostly women who end up experiencing this. But if you're a person at a bar and somebody touches you in a way that you don't want to be touched and you say, hey, please, no, like I don't want that. And they persist and they keep doing that. They're violating your fundamental bodily autonomy. And you know what? I think it's pretty appropriate for somebody to get angry, to express that anger, to create disconnect between them and another person. I think it's okay to frighten somebody into not touching you in a way that you don't want to be touched. Like that is really appropriate.
When it comes to safety and survival, because that's really what anger is about. It's about like enhancing or keeping you alive, you know? And then I lost my train of thought, so.
Well, it's just, I just think, you know, so much of the time our conversation about anger, we like pathologize it. And I think we just need to recognize that there is actually a very healthy, appropriate place for anger. And we need to culturally, we need to individually, within the context of our relationships, we need to understand that there is a context in which it is a perfectly appropriate emotion to express. And, you know, again, there's still the question of like, okay, can we do that strategically? You know, do you have to physically assault the asshole at the bar who's touching you with a broken beer bottle? No, I mean you could slap them, you know, or you can go get the bouncer to bounce them out of the bar, or ask some other people for some help. You could shout them down. You can spray them with mace or pepper spray. There's so many options.
So many options.
But they're just, I just think it's important for us not to just over pathologize anger and be like, well, yeah, if you're angry, then you're unhealthy and you're doing a bad thing and so on and so forth. That's unreasonable.
No, like bare minimum, I like to kind of, I say like use it against them, but I chuckle when I say it, that like, if, especially after years of like depression or anxiety or whatever, but now they're angry. They're just like stuck in anger. I'm like, this is great news. And they're like, what are you talking about? I'm like, bare minimum, it means you give a shit how you're treated. Even if you are misperceiving, right? Like what you are deserving of, like you still care how you're treated. This is great news. Like you care. And they're like, oh, I didn't think about it like that.
And then it becomes like this thing, right? Of like, okay, understandable, solid progress, and then let's help you sit with your values and sort out, is that actually something that you want to continue doing, given the consequences? And I, in so many ways, I think all of us do this, that we both want to indulge what we feel, and this isn't just about anger. We want to indulge what we feel, but also we'd like to be excused from the consequences of indulging how we feel. And that's just like, no. Like, you, listen, if you slap some guy at the bar who's being an asshole, I don't know, maybe they're going to like throw a charge on you or something. Now, I think probably there's going to be a lot of judges who are going to throw that case out and be like, yeah, dude, don't be feeling up women at the bar. Don't be doing that. And you got what was coming to you. No, I'm not going to, you know, charge this individual with a crime. But, you know, that's a reality.
Yeah, it could happen.
And so we do need to kind of like on the back end, like accept what's, you know, what sits with that. You know, it may be a step in the right direction, and the price tag on that step in the right direction may be rough. Like, that might not be.
Interest rates are a little higher.
That's right. Okay, well, I feel like we've covered a lot. I'm sure that there'll be questions. We will put a link in the description for today's episode where you can submit some questions or comments or whatever you want. So if you want to do that, please reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you and answer any questions that you have. Any last things that we need to tie up?
Nope.
Okay.
That's it.
We will see you next time. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye.